Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's O-L-L-Y.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Give every dollar a job is number 4.
I love that. Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. Like that. Having your money go to work for you. Like you go multiply, make more of you.
It's like you are my gas transactions.
I like that. It reminds me of that scene from... what's the Christmas movie that we watch every year?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. When they have $2 left over at the end of the of the run. And he's like, Mr. Dollar and Mrs. Dollar, go make more of you.
Yeah, we'll put them in the safe and hope they make lots of babies.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
What's up? It's Iceman.
And today we are going to talk about some shit that they do not tell you, or at least most of you. I think most of you. And that is money. We haven't talked about money in a while.
Yeah.
Like we talk about relationships a lot, talk about conspiracies. We have a jolly time talking about those two topics.
Yep.
Talk about cryptos sometimes. Yep. But when it comes to money, it's a sensitive topic. And also we're not financial experts. We're not professionals. This is for entertainment value only. Do not consult your lawyer about coming after us. Okay. This is just, you know, some advice that the show started out with, which was like, what's some shit that they didn't tell us that we had to learn the hard way that maybe we could let other people know some tips and tricks that would prevent them from having to learn the hard way. So the other day on my Twitter, or I guess X now is what it's called, I follow a lot of poker players and Daniel Negreanu is one of them. I don't know if you're familiar, but he's a pretty big poker player. And he posted a couple months ago, he posted this tweet that was a poll. And it was thoughts on teaching your kids money skills with this method. When they're 5 or 6, give them $5 a week, make them keep a log, and then they get $3 for spending, $1 for giving, and $1 for saving. Teaching them to be smart with spending while also learning the value of giving and saving. Do you like this method or not? And then people like said if they liked it or not. 79% of people said they liked this method. And then 21% said they don't like it. He said he himself does not have kids, but the man who suggested it said age 5 or 6 is when he and many others have done this method with their kids. What are your thoughts on that method?
I think it's okay.
Okay.
I don't like the $1 for giving thing.
Okay. I would like your whole thoughts.
Yeah. So look, I'm fully a believer in charity and all that stuff like that. But the $100 forgiving thing should be, I guess maybe if it teaches a kid to research how to look at that stuff.
Yeah.
How to find a good charity and how to know when you're giving to someone like that's going to be beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would definitely teach that part before donating to it.
Yeah. Cause like, for example, I was just like at the store the other day and I was coming out and this lady's like, I got a petition. Would you like to sign it? And I'm like, what? I don't like to just sign it because I don't know what the hell's going. I know that you want this.
Right.
But I don't know like what the people who don't want this
have to say. Well, it's like when I drive through Taco Bell and they're like, would you like to round up and donate the change to such and such charity? I used to say yes. And then I now have been informed that they do that because they can write it off on their taxes.
I heard that too.
So basically you're just like helping them pay yeah. off their taxes.
It's wild.
So I don't say yes anymore, and I probably sound like a dick, but like, yeah, and I feel bad too. Informed.
This lady's like out there volunteering and stuff like that, but I'm like, I just don't know what the other people have to say on the other side. You know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah. I'm not just gonna willy nilly sign your petition.
No, that's true. Yeah,
yeah. But so you know, I guess when it comes to the dollar forgiving thing, it's just, I guess it's a good thing to think about it like
well,
that.
Well, in theory, you'd be teaching them about each of these categories.
Good point. Good point. Okay.
So.
Also, it's a big chunky of $5. You got to give a buck of it to giving. Oh, buddy, that's a big chunk.
It's 20%.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like
yeah.
how some people do a tithe at church. It's like, that's a wild percent sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I aim for 10%, but yeah, you know,
that's more reasonable.
When times is tough, it gets down to 5%. Yeah. You know, like it's probably the first category because when you get to survival mode, like, you know, that's the first category that's going to go.
Right.
Down, right? Then you give to me if you want.
Yeah, you give to me. Pay it back.
Okay, so did you have any sort of system like this when you were a kid? When were you taught about money? Were you ever taught about money?
My parents, like, I think Oprah did like an episode about allowance, and my parents tried it for like 2 months, basically. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what would happen is like, there would be some kind of trend cycle in our house, and yeah. we like did a thing, we tried it for a couple weeks, and then it all fell apart.
Okay.
Like we tried going to church for a couple years and then that ended up falling apart. Like we always tried doing a couple things and it always
fell
apart.
Like a kind of a trend.
Yeah, kind of
follower.
A trending thing. Yeah, okay, for okay. sure. Because my mom would watch Oprah or whatever and then she would convince my dad that we're going to do this now and then we would try it and then it would blow up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys just.
In favor of all of our whatever habits were.
You didn't get allowance?
We did eventually. My parents tried to install an allowance system
uh-huh.
where they basically took one of Kenny's diaper, what do you call them? Diaper wipes bags.
Uh-huh.
They cut a slot in boxes and they cut a slot on the top of it.
Yeah.
And basically, every time we did something in the house, we wrote it down and we put it in the little thing and then we got to redeem it for like 25 cents later.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was like.
Oh, I just fill that with shit.
Oh, we did.
Okay.
It was a corrupt system. Yeah. Like within like 3 days, it was like, oh, well, I just like. You know, like Kenny spilled on the ground and I just cleaned it up. So
yeah.
we were just like making shit up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we were like government contractors.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, like all of these little micro scales, microcosms of little systems, like if they're corrupt, you could see how the bigger picture of yep. how like our actual politics and money systems
so
get corrupt.
When my mom would change Kenny's diaper,
yeah.
sometimes she would hand it to me and I would put it in the trash. So after this system, I started to write that down as me changing Kenny's diaper and throwing it away.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean, you just come up with shit.
Right. If you're gonna get 25 cents for each thing yeah. you put in that box, you yeah. better believe I'm writing. Like I'm gonna figure out all kinds of shit I'm gonna do
Absolutely.
To write my name down and what I did.
I might be wrong about the denominations that we got, but it was basically like it seemed like a crazy amount of money to us.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It might have been five, but 5 cents.
Whatever
but
it is,
whatever
it's
it
like,
was, we were.
I don't have to sell anything. I don't have to like.
Yeah. It's all in house.
Yeah. I'm gonna make some money off this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents killed the system in like 3 months because it was just turned into nonsense.
But you probably had the thing where like if you went to the mall, like your parents would give you $20 or something, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't have that. So like we had allowance for doing chores. And some people in the comments of this thread are against that because they don't like, they think that chores should be just a given thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you shouldn't be taught to like want money for it because then it's like, what if you're not money motivated anymore? Then you just stop doing the chores.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, well, no, we still want you to do the chores. But so we had chores that we did for allowance, but I also booked childhood modeling jobs. Not so flexed to hard, but
back when you were hot.
Yeah, like back when I was super hot, 8 year old. I actually modeled for like I modeled for like diversity brochures. It was like I had to be behind a chain link fence and like
that's amazing.
It was like give money to our schools, like or whatever. God. And I like had to go to LA to like some.
It's a photo shoot.
I drove from I was driven from Santa Barbara to LA to dress like they do my hair all messy and
they
like
dress you poor.
Yeah, they dressed me poor to and then pose like in this school. Like,
you're sad. You're hungry.
Yeah, because like. And honestly, I didn't know it at the time, but later looking back, I'm like, oh, it's because I was like the only brown kid on their roster.
Oh, wow.
Like, and so like, you know, a management company has like all these different clients and in Santa Barbara, it's predominantly white.
Yeah.
So like there's very few like ethnically ambiguous clients that they had.
It's a whitey town.
And so like when they're submitting, it's like, oh, well, I got someone that could do that job.
That's so funny.
So yeah, I did that. I also modeled for Land's End catalog, back to school catalogs.
Okay.
I did an IBM print ad. But I had accumulated.
Were you just a poor kid in all these?
No, but I wish.
Like looking up at the computer, like, oh, I wish I could have.
I was in the movie The Pest as a little Catholic schoolgirl in the background.
That's pretty sick. You're also in Power Rangers.
I was in Power Rangers, yeah.
That's like your biggest one.
And a lot of like extra work, featured work, and then like kid modeling work. Yeah. And so my parents were really nice and they let me like keep all the money. In my head, there was no way, like when they told me that some parents kept the money, yeah, I was like, that's crazy. But looking back at it, I'm like, my parents had to take the day off to like take me there. It's crazy that they didn't keep any of that money.
It's true.
Or even like a cut of it. They didn't take a cut. Wow. It was just mine. And they wanted me to like learn about how to manage my own money. So I got a savings account. And anytime I went to the mall, I had to take from my savings account that I like worked jobs for.
Dude, I had no income, dude.
I know.
I had zero income.
Not my fault.
So?
I was always scheming though. But even before that, I was always like, how do I make money? How do I make money? Because I had a money holder thing, like a coin where you put the coin in and it sorts it into what, like it sorts the pennies and the dimes. And so I couldn't wait to like put coins in there. And so even at like 5 years old, this kid taught me how to do origami and I just started selling it. I was like going up to adults like 25 cents. I had like a basket.
Oh,
I was
my
like
God.
25 cents for my fucking origami swans.
Just a pure sympathy thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I was like five. So they're like, oh, I'll buy one.
Of
it's
course.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so
good. And then
I'd
be like, I got $5. $5. That's so much. God. And then like, I also used it when I'd be like, I'd be like, can we go to McDonald's? I really want a Happy Meal. And my parents would be like, no, we can't afford it or whatever. I'd be like, I'll pay for it. And like, I would use it and I would buy the family dinner. My parents liked it. My parents were like, oh, she's like, that might be a good thing. You know, she's like using her brain to like come up with
Your little business
solutions. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And so, well, I learned really early on that money was a leveraging power. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why I got obsessed with like, even before I like really understood any of it. I also had a game. We had a game called Time and Money that was like flashcards. And like from 4 to 8 or 9, I like used this flashcard games. And there was like a beginner and advanced. So when I was younger, it was like more beginnery and like learning to tell time really quickly. And then like increments of money and like how much money and like how to divide money and all this stuff. So it never really dawned on me that kids didn't have that any sort of system growing up. Yeah. And this tweet got me really curious because I started reading through the comments of like, did everyone have some sort of system when they were growing up, or was there no system, or did they have intricate systems? I had my parents were both in finance. So my mom worked at a bank and then she eventually became CFO and like vice president. But at the time she was just a teller. And then my dad was an accountant and then he was getting his CPA, going through the CPA exam. So eventually he became a CPA, but at the time he was just an accountant. So they were like in the entry level positions of their finance jobs. And I think because they had to learn the hard way, they both came from impoverished family. My dad's side came from immigrant family, and my mom was just like, they were dirt poor.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even have furniture in their house, like sat in lawn furniture, didn't have beds. So they like didn't want us to grow up like that. And so they were learning a lot about finance in their careers, and then they were just kind of dumping it on me. And I was a kid and I was soaking everything up like a sponge.
Of course.
So I like the system. This, I think, is a good, if you were going to go about it in an organized way, I do like this system. The only thing I would add to it is in this example, they gave the kid $5 a week.
Right.
I don't know. Some people were arguing against chores, but I feel like you should teach that you have to like earn it somehow.
I agree.
And then
it shouldn't be because it's Sunday you're getting
$5. Yeah, because then it's like, oh, money falls out of nowhere.
Yeah. Every Sunday I get more $5.
Yeah, like
yeah, I think that's nuts.
All of this should be kind of to train you on a micro level for the macro world.
Right.
As you're young, and then like, so you kind of get used to your own systems. Well, if you never had to work for the dollar, then the system is just organizing. It's not really about like managing, right?
Because you're not teaching them how to actually earn money.
Well, you have unlimited bankroll.
Right.
Yeah.
Because one day you're not going to get to clean up your own house and make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like that's just not going to happen.
So like when I was a kid, I sold stuff. I mean, I did that modeling and acting stuff later, but even like from 5 to 8 when I started modeling, I was like looking for things to sell. I would always beg my parents to have garage sales. Like I wanted to like have my own little piggy bank.
Yep.
And a lot of the cartoons had actual piggy banks in them.
Yep.
And I just loved
that.
Like the idea of putting money into a bank and like it's like stashed for you.
Yeah, I had a bear. I had a glass bear.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
We had a giant crayon. And actually my dad, when I moved out of the house, he had been putting like 20s in there and like all kinds of stuff in there. And he gave me the crayon when I moved out of my house.
No way.
Yeah.
How much was in there?
It's kind of a sentimental moment. There was like $500 in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. But it was just funny because it was like this crayon that I had since childhood.
Wow.
I don't know where that went.
Yeah, where is it?
I guess like when
it was so sentimental, you chucked it.
Apparently.
You took the money and you chucked it.
I think it was like in that era where I moved to your house and like a bunch of my stuff, didn't get stolen, but I told this guy he could take whatever was left, and I didn't do my final walkthrough.
Yeah.
And he just like took a bunch of stuff. Yeah. He took my bass guitar and stuff. Anyway, back to the topic though. So yeah, number one, I would try to figure out a way, like depending on what their interests are,
yes,
that they could make money from it, right? I did everything too. I'd like sold paintings. Like I just like tried everything. When I learned how to roller skate, I put up signs that I would teach other kids how to roller skate.
That's funny.
Like, I don't know why I was always just thinking about this. I didn't like that my parents were always saying no to me because we couldn't afford it.
Right.
And so like I just wanted to make money. But okay, so like once you teach your kid like how different methods of making money, then okay, they have this money and you pay them for doing a job that they choose, whatever it is.
Yep.
I don't know. Like I don't really know that part of it, but because I was pretty resourceful at coming up with money. But once they have the money, I do like this system of segregating things. I would teach them one to pay themselves first, and that would be the saving part. So the dollar in this case goes to saving. I would teach them about percentages too. And I don't know how young kids can absorb that because I did, but I don't know like if that's normal. I don't know what's normal and not.
I think it's good. It can't be bad to teach them percentages and
right,
stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like even if it takes them a while to get it, like repetition, they'll eventually get it.
Yeah.
So being able to, you know, train yourself to put at least 10% away in savings. In this example, it's 20%, but, you know, at least 10% into savings. And then later when enough savings get accumulated, I would teach them how to invest.
Yes, investment, big
right.
time.
But savings would be the first step.
Yeah, of course.
So this would be like, this would be the road. Yeah, so when you're starting them off at like 5 or 6 years old, like you start with savings and then you'll move them up to the next level after like a few years. It's like, okay, let's see how much you saved. Okay, now we're not going to touch this. Now I'm going to show you how you make it grow on its own. And then,
yes.
Ooh, that's really cool. I was hella interested in that. Interested.
Yeah, nice.
Pun in not intended, but there it is. That is actually the other part that I would add to this. So one thing that I will always admire my father for doing is sometimes he was short on cash, and this was back in the 90s. So it's not like everywhere was cashless, where you could just use a credit card. It was really new to use debit cards and stuff like that. So sometimes he would need cash for something, gas or whatever it is. I don't really know what he needed cash for. He did tobacco, so maybe he needed like to buy some tobacco or something. But he would need like $5. So he would take it for, he would ask me first if he could borrow it. And he would be like, hey, I need to borrow $5 from your piggy bank. But when I pay you back, I'll pay you with interest.
Love that.
And he explained to me what interest was, and I didn't get it till he actually gave it to me. Like, I had to see it given, but he's like, I was really suspicious. Yeah. I was like, you're taking $5.
You're taking my $5.
Yeah. he's like, Nikki, like, I will pay you back with interest and you're going to like it. Don't worry. You're going to like it.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay.
How old are you?
I was like 7.
That's really cute.
7 or 8. Yeah. I was just like, bro, I sold a lot of origami for this.
Like, I was teaching kids how to roller skate for like 3 hours for this shit, okay?
so then he goes and does his thing, and then like 2 days later he gets his paycheck and he gets cash and he goes, okay, now I'm gonna show you what interest is. So you gave me $5, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, I'm gonna give you $6.
Love it. And he paid you way too much.
Well, but 20% interest.
Yeah, I love that. That's crazy.
Yeah, but he taught me very young about it. I was like, whoa, what? And he told me that don't ever let someone borrow from you without paying you interest. And that when banks borrow money from you, when you put your money into a bank, that they're supposed to pay you interest. And back then, savings accounts paid way more interest.
Oh, yeah. And they weren't inflating the dollar supply on top of your head as much.
Exactly.
So if you have a savings account, they're already depleting. It doesn't matter if you have $5,000 in there.
Yeah.
It's worth less next year.
Exactly.
Because they're printing so much money.
It never kept up with inflation, but at least it used to pay like whole percentages, and now it's like 0.5% or whatever it is. But he would show me on the savings account how much, like he showed me, like, look, the bank gave me interest. So it, from a very, very young age, I learned about interest, and we learned about taxes, and we learned about all of that. So in this like giving portion, I feel like that giving dollar could not only be charity, but it could also be taxes.
Oh, like, yeah.
Setting aside stuff for taxes.
Right.
Just know that this dollar of your $5 is just not going to be yours.
That's so true.
just kiss it goodbye
and the way taxes is too, where it's like, okay, so I bought something at the store, right?
Yeah.
And I paid taxes for it. Then when I pay the income, all my income gets taxed too. So, but then it's double tax because I use my income to buy things.
Yeah, bro, I want to dump a bunch of tea into a fucking body of water again, because I don't understand. Like, didn't we think that taxes were theft before we founded the country, or did we not think that taxation is theft? I don't understand.
It just feels like we can't do anything about it.
Yeah. So, then you got like $3 for spending in this example. $3 for spending. It doesn't mean you have to spend it right away, though. I guess I haven't taught a kid this method, but if I was taught this method and it was like, this $3 is for spending, I would think I need to spend it right away.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's go out and see what we could buy for $3 because this $3 is for spending.
That is definitely the kid mentality. It's like you're in a Chuck E. Cheese, you have a bunch of tickets in your hand, and you can't really use them anywhere else.
Yeah.
So you got to get the stupid frog.
Prizes.
The frog that you pinch its butt and it jumps or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get,
or the sticky hand.
Yeah, whatever gets you out of there with no tickets in your pocket.
Right.
Right.
Got to spend it all.
Yeah, spend it all.
Yeah. So I guess I would also teach my kid that they could put more into savings and have more for later. Delayed gratification, I think, is the whole lesson from that. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think should be taught really early.
I think the concept of following your dollar, I think, is so important. And it's actually really easy thing, I think, for anybody to understand, right? Like, the idea that, like, I always talk about this, but my parents named me Steven after Steve Jobs, but they didn't buy Apple stock.
Huh.
So, like, they're onto something to name me that. My dad definitely knew that Apple was going to be something.
Yeah.
Because it was already, like, a thing in 1985.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, what it is today at all. And that's why I think he had the foresight of doing that, but like, why not like follow your dollar into the stock, right? Follow your dollar into being invested in what you're interested in. Like, they found Taco Bell in the 80s too, and they didn't like buy stock, for example. They were like, this is great. Taco Bell's awesome.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of this stuff is like you mirror what you were taught, you know? So exactly. If your dad wasn't taught that from right. his parents. And so that's kind of like how class systems work too, where it's like, how come the rich get richer? You know, it's well, a lot of it is they just pass down knowledge that isn't taught in schools. Mm-hmm. Why? We don't fucking know. Yeah. But like why can't they teach relationships, interpersonal relationship courses, like
how to pay your taxes,
and then finance courses, like yep. really young, like using methods like this and gamifying it. I would teach my kid poker immediately.
Oh,
like,
dude, I teach my kid crypto immediately.
I would teach them at like 10 years old because yep. because it teaches you all the poker teaches you on a micro level, like how, like what life is like, bankroll management, you know, being taking calculated risks, all this stuff, strategy, so and gamifying everything too, yeah. like keeping it fun, keeping it a game makes you interested in it and wanting to keep going. So I would definitely do that, and the $3, yeah, I would teach them that they don't have to spend it all like right away, like you can. You can spend it now if you want, or but then you're gonna have to wait till you get your next paycheck. You know.
Yeah, and I think you know the same way that your mom taught you, like maybe overly taught you that not to be a brand whore.
Yeah.
Right, because like, she would constantly talk about it, and it really got in your head and like made you anti-brands for like a longest time.
I mean, it wasn't even that I was anti-brands. I literally just didn't even know what brands were. It wasn't like I was like, oh, Tiffany's, you know, or like, yeah. you know, Armani or I don't know, Louis Vuitton. Even now, I'm like struggling to come up with brand names, but like I literally didn't even know what they were.
Yeah, I think and what I'm trying to get at with that is, I think if I just I would constantly show them, like if we're out at Target or whatever, we're there for a reason.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, there are people who aren't here for a reason. They're just looking for something that will make them feel good.
Yeah.
Like, so they're going to spend their money on it and they're not going to have that money later, and I'll show you how you can turn a small amount of money into a big amount of money. It's literally what I've done for hundreds of people in my crypto group, right? Like they know now how this method works. So you can spin up a small amount and really like crush it, but like you have to be disciplined. You have to like learn.
Well, that's
the
what
method.
I was saying with the delayed gratification. That's exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like yeah. all like every if you read Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, like mm-hmm. one of the common factors in successful people was the delayed gratification factor, where all of them were able to kind of have vision that if they put off what would feel good right now, that they could have something that feels way better later.
Exactly.
And the marshmallow experiment was teaching delayed gratification. You heard of that, right? Mm. It's when, so you can look this up online. It's a very popular experiment that they've done with kids where they put a marshmallow in front of the kid and they say, you can eat this marshmallow right now if you want. Or if you wait for me to come back, you can have way more marshmallows. But if you eat it before I come back, then you don't get the extra marshmallows. And most kids, like they leave the room and they have the camera like set up and then they like, the kid's like five and like the kids are like looking at the marshmallow and they're like waiting and waiting, like waiting for the person to come back. Most of the kids couldn't wait for the person to come back. So the person would come back with a bag of marshmallows and be like, oh, you ate your marshmallow? Oh, I have all these other marshmallows that I was going to give you.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I could have had all the marshmallows if I just waited. Whereas like the kids that waited, they got like five marshmallows when the person comes
back.
Love
that.
Yeah. And it's like, it teaches, or I don't know if it teaches or if it was just an experiment seeing how many kids just naturally had delayed gratification. I don't really remember the rest of that experiment.
Dude, I learned a painful lesson about delayed gratification in a way. Like it was gonna be my birthday and I had waited forever to get a hamster and I was promised to get a hamster on my birthday, right?
Yeah.
So then my mom's taking me to the pet store, we get there and they're out of hamsters. But I wanted my hamster.
Yeah.
So they had like these albino like mice or whatever. Like
Awful.
Yeah. They called them albino mice or some shit.
Yeah, feeder mice, basically.
Yeah, basically. But they had like they're like white, all white with red eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all right, well yeah, I want that. I'll get that. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, today is about me and I want my pet, you know? Took them home, reached in the cage to like pick them up and they bit me. They were hanging from my finger and they were the worst.
Oh God. And you got multiple ones?
We got two of them, yeah. Because it was like a hamster would have been one price, and two of these is a different one. So,
they multiplied, did they?
No, they didn't. One ended up eating the other. It was really bad.
Oh.
It was really bad.
Oh, that's worse.
They were crazy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my painful lesson about delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
Should have just waited to get the one that you wanted.
Yeah. So, you learned, though.
I did. Okay. And I always remember that lesson. Always. Yeah.
So, I think that marshmallow experiment probably did teach the kids that ate the marshmallow early that they could have had, like, way more.
I think so.
That would stick with me as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go on a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some various money tips and stuff.
And that tricks.
Not really tricks.
Aw.
Just tips, I think. Just the tips.
All right. When we return, we'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. And by the way, if you would like these episodes a couple days early, you could check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. It's like $5 a month and you get access to Crypto Corner, which Steve does every week. He's teaching people all about how to grow their money, just like this episode is talking about. You pass it down to your kids, all that jazz. We also do one live stream a month and we do a free roll poker tournament with cash prizes. So it's a good time. We've got a great Discord community. Check it out.
The best.
It is the thing that helps the show out the most.
Yes.
Okay. So after seeing this tweet on Twitter or X when Dean Eggs, Daniel Negreanu posted it, I got intrigued and wanted to know what other people were doing, if there were like lists or rules or some sort of system that you could pass down to your kids.
Yeah.
And I came across
even just people who are listening to this who want better habits.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you didn't learn when you were a kid, you got to learn sometime. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just going to pass down bad money habits to your kids.
Exactly.
And I really do think when I'm talking about the class structures, when it's just ingrained in you from day one, like with the wealthier families, like a lot of the tax loopholes and just the way they think about money is so vastly different than the way that middle class and lower class families think and feel and talk about money. And it creates relationships with money that can be really bad and toxic and where you are doing, it creates bad habits because you just don't know any better.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, a lot of the upper class people were just taught a certain way. And so they never like feared going broke. They never like had a lack mentality about things. But that's neither here nor there. You could break the cycle anytime you want. Yeah. So we're all about doing that. I found this tweet and I don't know how I feel about it yet, but I'm going to read the list to you and you can tell me how you feel. This one is called The Rules of Money, and there's 18 rules that they have lined up. And one is, number one is pay yourself first. I do agree with that one. I talked about that earlier. I learned about this when I was 18. When I started working with an insurance company, they had us read a bunch of these books because it was like very self-startery. You had to go like make sales on your own. So a lot of sales companies, they'll have you read like motivational books or like personal development books, money type business books. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I read Think and Grow Rich in the first place. And I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all these different books. And pay yourself first was something I had never heard before. And it is such a good rule because it's like when you get your paycheck, you paid the government first already.
Right.
So when you're an independent contractor and you don't pay the government first, pay yourself first. But even if you already paid the government and you work at an employee job, still pay yourself first before you pay your bills.
I like that.
Before you pay anything else, because it's like a lot of people operate backwards, like where they go, well, I have to pay all my bills first. Otherwise, you know, I won't be able to pay them. Obviously, it's silly. I can't pay myself. But if you tell yourself, every paycheck, I'm going to give myself 10% of the gross. I'm going to just set it aside immediately. You pretend in your mind that that is a bill you had to pay, mm-hmm. but you're paying yourself first. It's so important, though, because you're basically subconsciously telling yourself you're not important when you pay everyone else first,
right.
and that your needs aren't important and that you don't deserve money. Like, you don't actually deserve to have it. And
right.
it's like such a subconscious thing. And when I made that a rule, at first it's scary because it's like, well, on paper, I don't know how I'd pay the rest of the stuff off. But for whatever reason, your mind finds a way, or like you find a way to pay for everything else for the rest of the month. Similarly, if you have money left over, you'll find a way to spend it if it's just sitting in your account.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find a way to spend it.
Everyone I know knew growing up did that.
Yeah. So just put it away right away. Put away 10% right away. And then that'll start off as savings. And then it'll end up being like your pile of investment money that you'll put into an IRA or whatever, some other investment. So pay yourself first. Absolutely agree with that rule. I wish I would have learned about it even sooner. But 18 is a pretty good place to start if I had to pick a different place than being a child. Two, learn how to invest. So yeah, once you pay yourself and you have this pile that's built up, you should learn how to invest it and make your dollar work for you. I think that's the whole point that is missed by our schooling system. Like, we're never taught how to make your money work for you. You're just taught how to be an employee.
I think that's on purpose. I'm just going to say
it. I do too.
I know that that's conspiracy for some people. But dude, yeah, when the credit card companies like are basically, we're raising debt slaves all around us, and the credit card companies are benefiting from all that. All these bad habits, which are never taught differently.
Oh yeah, that's another thing I'm happy. My parents were in a lot of debt when I was a kid, and they were getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. And my dad figured out a system for getting out of debt. Very similar to, we did an episode of Dave Ramsey's system. Very similar to that, where he had a snowball thing going on. And he basically, to try to prevent me from going to debt, but also needing to build my credit, he's like, you have to have a credit card when you're 18. Mm-hmm. You have to build your credit or else you won't get approved for anything. But never keep a balance. He's like, only,
you're so good at that.
Yeah.
You're amazing at it.
He's like, only put stuff on here that you pay off immediately with cash that you have. Now, I wouldn't recommend paying it off immediately, but pay it off when your credit card bill is due, or twice a month, you should pay off the balance. If you do it immediately, it won't count towards your credit score. So don't like do it right away. But
what does that mean?
Like, don't go home that day and pay it off.
Got it. Yeah.
But, you know, twice a month, pay off the balance.
Yep.
That way it grows your credit score and you don't get into debt. And he taught me about interest the other way. So just like he taught me about interest and getting paid interest when I was a kid, that was really fun because, oh, I just keep giving you money and you give me more money. Like, I didn't have to do anything. I just loaned you money.
Being a lender's fun.
He's like, that's what the credit card companies will do to you.
Exactly.
So don't spend more than you have, or else you're going to have to pay them interest, and it's a lot more than what you want to pay. And that's how people get stuck forever. And he, you know, basically ingrained that in me forever. And he did a good job at, like, when he was paying it off, he would show me, like, okay, last month we paid 50% off. That was really hard. And that's why we had to, because as a family, we'd have to, like, scrimp, right? But then, like, the next month we paid 50% off, and it was way less than the previous month. And then the next month we paid 50% off, until he was able to pay the whole balance off.
Wow.
So yeah, I was really thankful for that. I think kids should be taught both.
Yeah.
Both, I like, love that. Interest that you get and interest that you have to pay if you borrow.
Your dad killed it with that.
He really did.
I did not know any of that. I promise you, my parents were definitely in debt, and it was just like getting hassled all day.
I think that's why I was so shocked as an adult that all of these people were in debt and like crying about it. I had very little like sympathy early on. When, because I just thought everyone was raised this way. So I was
That makes sense.
Why would you, I was like, why would you get like the student loan debt thing? Like, I'm like, okay, surely you knew that when you, you know, took on this debt that it was because you were going to be in a career that could like pay it off or something. Like, you had a system in mind. Like, surely you knew that there was interest, or, you know, surely you knew when you paid, when you were paying for things with a credit card that, you know, it says right there 24% APR. Like, yeah, like you didn't, like, how?
They definitely didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
And they get tricked a lot of the time. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And then someone early, you know, because I was like kind of getting annoyed at people that were complaining about debt. But they explained that they were not actually taught that ever. And it blew my mind. Like, it, like, a light bulb went off, and I was like, oh my God. And then I felt really bad for everybody in debt. Yeah. So it was like, that is so sad that. They don't teach it in school at all. And then when you're 18, they just like coax you into signing up. And by the way, not coax you in, you have to sign up for it in order to get, build your credit score, which I was taught as well. But like, but you have to get one, but then they trick you because they're not teaching you how to use it.
When you're getting, when you're like, it's like you get accepted to this college and now, okay, there, here's how you're going to pay for the college with this loan.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's all seen as like this nonstop. It's like, okay, now you're at the next level. Now you're at the next level. Now this is what you do.
Now, now you're in the next level.
This is what you do. Yeah, now you have to go into debt here and pay this rate. And it's like normalized. Exactly. And there's no negotiating the rate down. It's like, no, it's this rate. Unless you do certain things.
And what's so messed up about the student loan debt is that it's the one thing that if you declare bankruptcy, you still don't get forgiven on your student loan debt.
Dude,
that's insane to me.
Exactly.
That is so corrupt that the government should not be profiting off of this student loan debt.
Well, they're paid
by
the people who benefit from that. So that's the whole thing.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like we all have to pay the taxes that they are giving out anyway.
Yep.
So like they shouldn't be profiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid. I'm really pissed about that whole system.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you should teach your kids about interest immediately, ASAP. If you didn't already
know. We should be able to look up anybody who works for the government. We should be able to, or works in any of these industries. I feel like we should be able to look up, you know, who pays them. Where does it come from?
And then like get a phone book and put it in a pillowcase and
No, I'm saying like if it was like on the blockchain, for example, and you could see a public distributed ledger
and then
where the money comes from.
And then we find them.
No, I'm just saying then you know not to trust certain people who are giving you advice.
And we just a couple. Just,
we don't do violence.
Teach
though.
Them a lesson.
We don't do the violence.
No, just a little, let's just have a conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have some conversations. Okay. Number three, don't be a hater of it, of money.
Oh yeah.
So I saw this on Twitter a lot too, is like someone will post a video, usually a millennial or a Gen Zer, but like a millennial that's like, yo, me and my husband both work full time jobs. We have two kids, we don't live in a big house, and we have like barely any money left. Or we like, this is how much we spend on groceries, this is how much we spend, and they like break down their whole thing and they're like, we only have $200 left. And there'll be like haters in the comments that are like, $200? Like, sounds like you're fine to me. You're like, and the lady's like crying because she's like, I only has $200 left to make it to the next paycheck.
Yeah.
And like for a family of four. And it's, and they're like, oh, that's like, you sounds like you're rich to me. And, and it's like, wow, like people are haters because
people have no sympathy online though.
Well, and like they've normalized that everyone should be in debt to be complaining, right. Or like the fact that you have $200 left over is wild. But like, I think that it's really unfair, and also it's not doing them any favors, the people that are complaining, because you're basically, you want to be rich, right? Like everybody wants to make more money, but instead of acknowledging that, they're instead like hating money. They're like, oh, hater, like, oh, rich people are evil, or rich people. And like, granted, there's some evil rich people, but there's also evil poor people. So it's not the money that's making people evil. Yeah. But everyone wants to be rich, but then they're hating on people that are rich. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So you want to be something that you hate. So like, you're basically saying to yourself that if you made money, you'd be evil.
Good point.
So yeah, change that habit. Subconsciously, I agree with this. Don't be a hater of it. Just treat money like you're in a relationship with it. Like you want to like treat it with respect. You don't want to spend it up, go flying, throwing it everywhere, exactly. Every which way. You want to be respectful and disciplined, and you know, be a good caretaker of it. Give every dollar a job is number four. I like that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, like that. Having your money go to work for you. Like you go multiply, make more of you.
It's like you that. Are my gas transactions.
I like that. It reminds me of that scene from what's the Christmas movie that we watch every year?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. When they have $2 left over at the end of the of the run, and he's like, Mr. Dollar and Mrs. Dollar, go make more of you.
Yeah, we'll put them in the safe and hope they make lots of babies.
Yeah. All right, number five is spend less than you earn. Sounds pretty straightforward, but a lot of people...
It's way more difficult than if you're getting started late and you have these bad habits.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to reverse.
Well, especially if you don't know where your dollar's going.
Exactly.
So like mapping it out. And like, I'm not saying... Like we've definitely been in situations even in the past couple of years where it's like, ooh, like money is really short this month. Where did it go? And like we'll have to do a reassessment and like
an audit of like
take a picture, a financial picture of like where the cash flow is going.
Yep. So healthy to do.
But it's very healthy. Even I feel myself avoiding it because I don't want to confront it. But once you do, it helps your mind organize the thought, like you have a good picture of where your money is going, and then I think that's when you can get things back on track. Have a plan and set goals. Yeah, that's part of that financial picture too.
Definitely.
Where you can go, okay, we're spending like way too much on snacks. Like let's just cut our snack budget by like $50 and like there's that, you know, or subscription services really
get
us.
That's the biggest one.
That's a huge one. Like you just do it on your phone. I have like so many subscription services to random like AI or like not CapCut but like the copycat CapCuts,
like what is that?
Video editing apps where I was like trying different ones out, and then there was like a trial, and then it's like shit, now it's like $7 a month, and like those things add up. So like looking through all that and just unsubscribing to things. Don't be a slave to money. Completely agree. A lot of people will take on multiple jobs because it's like, okay, well, I can make this much with this much, but you're basically trading in your time for money.
You're right.
And you're being a slave to money rather than like letting money be an energy that you work with.
Working with money.
Yeah, and like using it to leverage so you don't have to work as much.
Yeah, not having a lack mindset.
Yeah, but also just like understanding compound interest and having your dollars like work for you in the long run, like understanding that you're working now, but you're not going to be a slave to it.
Exactly.
Because your dollars are working for you, not the other way around. All right. Eight, if you have it, don't flaunt it. I totally agree with that. Why would you be a dick about it? That's rude. Nine, keep your finances organized for sure. Sometimes this gets crazy. I mean, shout out to David.
Yeah.
Our guy.
Foking taxes on Flipper Corner. Yeah.
He's awesome. Sometimes I don't want to look at my financial picture, but I also trust that David has it.
Oh yeah.
On lock.
Yeah.
So that's like nice. I feel like, if you have that weakness, it might be good to have someone else organize your finances.
Legit.
I used to do my own taxes, or not my own. I didn't do my own taxes, but I would have to organize it all to send to my dad who did my taxes, and he's a CPA. And that was hell. Like, yeah. I would always procrastinate on that. Yeah. And then he'd get mad at me because he had to file extensions for me and stuff. Anyway, definitely organize your finances or have a plan for it. 10, it's a game. Learn how it works. Like, yeah, as, like I said earlier, it's if you can gamify it and make it fun.
How would you gamify it?
I made it fun to, like, I love, like, get when I get, let's say I get a paycheck that's $2,000. Yep. I'm like, okay, right away, I know I want to put 200 of it into savings because I pay myself first. Yep. I know, like, I have my system, right? Yep. And now I get to play with it. And then it's like, ooh, and then I have this. Okay, let me check and see what my travel budget is looking like because I put, like, things into buckets,
right?
Or it's like, okay, I want to be able to take a trip by the end of the year. So now my travel bucket is at like $1,000. Ooh, next month it's going to be at $1,200 or whatever.
Got it.
You know, yeah. It's like a game because it's like, I wanted these things. I created a plan to get there. And now I get to like add to the plan and watch it like come to fruition, right? Okay. Always have an emergency fund. Yeah, I was shocked to learn that the majority of Americans don't even have $500 in savings.
For an emergency, yeah, they don't.
Yeah, like Dave Ramsey talks about that.
Yep.
So,
huge problem.
You should have like $1,000 minimum in savings, just like liquid, mm-hmm. that you can access at any time. And then the rest, it's like, I mean, honestly, I would just have it in investments, but
absolutely.
I don't know. The emergency fund is like literally just $1,000. The rest is like, I would rather have those dollars like making more dollars. Same. So, I mean, put as much as you can, I guess, in an emergency fund. But sometimes I think it's a waste to have too much sitting there idly liquid, right?
I definitely agree. I mean, because of inflation, yeah.
All right. 12, always make money work for you. Yes. We were talking about this the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, through investments. By the way, shout out to Crypto Corner. Steve can, if you don't know where you want to put it or you don't have a place that you could put it that would keep up with inflation, which by the way is 6% on average, meaning your dollar loses 6% of its value every single year on average due to inflation. So if you're not putting it somewhere that is beating that 6%, then you're just losing money on every dollar that you save.
Hella people. I've been talking about crypto for a decade, folks, online, and hella people clown on me over the years, and all of them were wrong. It's like wild.
Yeah.
Like Bitcoin just hit the all-time high today.
Yeah. I mean, it's going
to
happen.
But so that means everyone who ever bought Bitcoin who held on to it is up. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that people just don't understand.
Well, because people see it as a gamble instead of as like a systemized, organized way of investing money.
And it's a game in a lot of ways too.
Exactly.
If you have the right system for it, which I think I do.
Well, that's why I like games, strategy games. Mm-hmm. I like strategy games mm-hmm. because if your mind is thinking that way, you can gamify anything. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't have to be adultness and hard and like stringent and depressing. Like you can gamify things and make it fun for you to want to do those things.
It is funny though, because when corners talk about the sell, like it's like, okay, so I've done really well. I made like six figures and I spun a lot of money up or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people. They always say this. They're like, it's tough when I talk to people. I'm like, so I know this guy is really good at crypto stuff. He's like been calling everything. And they're like, oh, who is it? And they're like, okay, that's the thing. So he's like a YouTube comedian.
Yeah.
The pitch is rough.
Yeah.
But the results are sick.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just know this game. But it's because this is what I do.
Well, yeah. I mean, you are naturally drawn to something that you're passionate about and you become obsessed with it because you're passionate about it. So you're going to naturally get better and better at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you plan on that? No.
Hell no. So, never in a million years would I thought this would be like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Was there ever times where you like were mad at it and wanted to quit?
No.
Hmm.
The closest I came to quitting was with you.
Yeah.
When
like December that one year.
December that one, 2020, I think, when I found out that OMG, which was a token I had been involved with over a long time, and I was scooping and accumulating it, they had been sold to a company called Genesis Block Ventures. It sort of doesn't matter that much, but the point is that I, for the first time, was like, wait a minute, this is a complete like T-bone, like different direction. Just doesn't make any sense. I was like, maybe I don't know what I'm doing, right? Because mm-hmm. I was scooping them through the lows the whole time, right? And then Yeah, you were awesome to me that day. It was that was the lowest I had felt. It was like,
well, because I pointed out to you that we already took the profits out. So I mean, we already took the principal out.
Yep.
So it was just profits, and then that was like when you look at it, that pile of money that you thought was so small because it had dwindled.
Yep.
But it was just profit.
It was just profit, yeah.
And it was still like,
oh, it was like,
it's healthy.
$28,000, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like it wasn't nothing. Then it was like, okay, like you, that's like free money.
Yeah.
So
that's what you gave me permission to basically, like, you know, like, yeah, like it's like, hey, you've been learning how to do all this stuff for so long, and you've been in this one token for so long, but now you get to like apply all the information you learned about all the other ones.
Yeah.
And then I spun that up so fast. It was like wild.
It's great.
But yeah. It was also the right time in the cycle too.
Yeah. The next one is learn how to make money passively. I feel like that's kind of the same as making money work for you. Like it's the same to me. I don't know if they had to use a different rule for that. 14 is use it to solve problems in the world. Yeah. I guess like you would be investing into projects that you believe in ideally. So
you'd be using that one a lot.
Solve problems in the world. Yeah. Or you would be giving to charities that you've researched and think would solve some problems in the world. I do think that when I say like money is an energy, it's like it can be used for good, like not just this thing you have to hoard.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like it's supposed to be put back into the world.
Dude, it's absolutely an energy. I've never seen I've seen instant reactions from people about money. I see it all day.
Yeah.
People going woohoo, people saying boohoo. Well, it's always about money.
I mean, it's like hardly ever tangible anymore anyway. Like you really only see it digitally as a number in your bank account that goes up and down. You never like really
hold it.
I would say you never, but like I work in poker and everyone has like stacks of cash all the time. So I do see it actually physically, but for the most part, the rest of the modern world operates pretty digitally. So it's just money is like floating through the airwaves, literally like, it's just floating through the airwaves right now, changing numbers all over the place in people's bank accounts all the time, electronically through the Wi-Fi. So it's just an energy.
Yeah.
It's a number and it goes like this. And if you like cling too hard to it, you have like this lack mentality about it, and it contributes to that energy, I believe.
Me too.
Like when you put it back out into the world, then you have like, it comes back to you. And that's having a good relationship with money too. But anyway, I'm trying to get through the rest of this list. 15 is know how to risk it and leverage it. That's what we've been talking about with investing as well. 16, don't use credit if you don't have cash. We talked about that. Yeah, like always make sure you have the cash to back it up.
Yeah.
Put it on your credit card. We put gas, bills, utilities, all that goes on a credit card, and then it gets paid off twice a month. But we have the cash for it. It's not like we always have that amount of cash in there because we organize the system. We know where our dollars are going. It's not what you make, it's what you keep. Yeah, it's true. But you have to, I think part of that is having a system for understanding how to keep it.
Amen.
Because if, I don't know, universe likes a vacuum. If there's extra dollars in there, you'll find a way to spend it. and then 18 is money is important, treat it accordingly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an echo.
Some of these are redundant.
Yeah, double redundant.
Yeah.
But yeah,
look, I think this guy just really wanted to fill up his graphic.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to do 18. So look, if you struggle with money out there, I think organizing it, like what Nikki's been talking about, like creating good habits is like so important.
Yeah.
And watching you do that, like, because when we got together, I'll never forget, I got like a check of like 15 G's when we first got together. And like immediately I was like, okay, well now we can do this and this and this.
Yeah.
And you kind of were like, well, why? You know, you're like, well, we don't have to. You know, we don't have to do, like, you don't have to spend it. You know, and I hadn't thought about it. Things like that before. Like
I was obsessed with like putting 50% away back then. Yeah. Like I was crazy as a contractor. I was like 50%. Like not the 10% from when I was an employee, 10% of my paycheck. But as an independent contractor, you can get destroyed on taxes. And you did get destroyed on taxes.
I sure did.
No one teaches you about it. No. And it's stupid that it's not taught. But you know, if your company that you work for, if you're an independent contractor, it's not the taxes aren't getting taken out of your paycheck. Exactly. So at the end of the year, you get a tax bill. And knowing that, I set aside 50% because even after write-offs, it might be like 30% in taxes and I still want that extra 20% left over. I'd rather have like leftover money where we're like, yay, than like, oh no, like we got to scramble to come up with this money. So I was obsessed with 50% of the paycheck goes to savings. And it's like, oh, well, how are we going to leave off 50%? I was like, well, we would be anyway because like after paying the government in your employee job and then paying yourself with the savings, this is what you would be trying to live off anyway. So just make more money. Mm-hmm. Like it was always to me, not a matter of like how, but like, how are we going to do it? But like where, like, okay, we'll just make more money, but I don't know where.
Right.
We'll figure it out. But you should, there's so many resources and ways that you can go about it. I just wish that they would teach it in school.
Me
it
too.
Wasn't like an easy route. I'm not saying that it was like, I was the
no, you have
just born
you were brought up with the great knowledge.
I had a crazy advantage
by advantage.
Getting taught those things young, and I highly recommend teaching your kids a system somewhat like that when they're young. But even that being said, if I hadn't read those books when I was 18 about paying yourself first, or like, you know, employees versus starting a business versus like entrepreneurship, like all these different avenues of what you could do in your career and how these different routes make money and then leveraging it into investments and like studying the stock market. If I didn't found all that when I was 18, I would have never known all this anyway. Like it would feel like Greek to me. But there's a lot of resources out there that can take you from beginner mode to like advanced mode. I think that if you need a place to start, Crypto Corner is a great place to start. And I'm not just saying that because it's Steve. I've just seen a lot of people be successful using the systems that he talks about. And truth be told, I don't even know the system he talks about, but I've just seen enough success stories that if I was not knowing where to go to start, I would probably go to Steve.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, look, dude, my system is a system. That's the thing. It
needs to be.
It's a consistent system, that I
because
do every
because that's
time.
What combats emotions. A lot of
exactly.
people, where they get messed up with money is they make emotional decisions.
Yeah, and I don't do that.
You know, you splurge when you're feeling bad or when you want to celebrate or whatever it is. You have, whether you know it or not, you have some sort of emotional habits tied to your money habits. Like there's going to be a correlation involved there depending on how you grew up and the way you were taught to think about money. If you systemize the way you deal with money, it takes the emotion out of it.
Dude, like, if I see anything that makes me even come close to emotions, I get out.
Yeah.
Like that happened to me actually this morning. I was, so I'm doing some certain things in crypto so I can like farm airdrops, right? So to do that, you have to do certain things in certain ecosystems. And one of them was basically a leverage place where you basically take an amount of crypto and you put it up as a bet, basically to bet if the price is going to go up or down. And I noped out of there.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how this works. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I know that I can probably farm this and get an airdrop for it, but I don't know how this system works. Like,
yeah.
So I just, I like to stay where I know what I'm doing.
Develop a system that works, that's it's consistent.
Yeah. And it was play money. So like it wasn't like a crazy amount.
Yeah.
I say play money is like less than 5% of your stack. It was way less than that. But for me, it's like I know how to take this and turn it into more. Mm-hmm. Why am I gonna just roll dice?
Gamble
here?
It. Yeah.
I don't want to.
Right.
It doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
It won't and if I lose at this, guess what? I'm gonna be grumpy the rest of the day and all this shit, right?
You're chasing some dopamine, some adrenaline rush.
I have no interest. You have to believe me when I say this. I am the least emotional person when it comes to finance stuff you'll ever meet. I just have a system, it works really good, and I stick to what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And even like so on Crypto Corner that you're going to join us for on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to do all the shitcoin stuff. Like, people buy dog coins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To me, it's just dice throwing. Literally just dice throwing. There's no value investing. There's no, like, research to do. It's like throw a dart. So that's what Nikki's literally going to do on Tuesday. She's going to, because we're going to take a play money move, small amount, less than 5% of your stack, way less than that, probably not even that. And then put it into one of these. I bought a dartboard. I'm going to fill it up with, I got a label maker, 40 different shit coins, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm going to blindfold Nikki and have her pick whichever one's the official shit coin of Crypto Corner for the 2024 bull run. And like, we'll see what happens. But that helps people understand that those are just scratchers lottery tickets. There's no system. There's no way to like find edges in that game unless you're part of the token allocation at launch. Like you're part of the small group of people who got to scoop it all up before they let it go. So
yeah, that's why I get upset. Like when people, I don't get upset, but like it irks me a little bit when people compare poker to other forms of gambling, because while it's all a gamble, I think life is a gamble. I think like most investments, stock market, everything is technically a gamble. But if you have a system in place where you have edges and it's like a very large edge where it's like proven to make money over the course of, you know, however many years, then to me, it's a safe gamble because you have that edge and you're pretty much guaranteed to profit, right?
But you had to learn it through mistakes.
Well, definitely. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about comparing that to slot machines.
Oh, yeah.
Where people do that all the time. Like, no, people do that. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, oh, you play poker? Yeah, like, I feel you. I play slots. And it's like, well, yeah. It's like, it's different. So, because, like, I've had critiques of people like, how does Nikki, you know, talk about money management and money and stuff? And then she, like, gambles it off of poker. And it's like, well, I haven't gambled it off. I've actually only ever put $1,000 in poker, and I'm up $140,000 in poker. Yeah. And I don't take large risks. I don't take risks that are larger than what I feel capable of in the system that I have, you know? And I'm constantly learning and getting better at it and blah, blah, blah. But it's a strategy game in which you can find an edge because you're playing other people and you're not playing against the house. Whereas every other game in the casino, you are at a disadvantage. The house has a 2% edge over you. Mm-hmm. It might be some games might have less of an edge than others, but they still have an edge over you. And when you're talking about crypto and you're talking about stock market, when you're looking at value investing, you are the one capitalizing on people's emotions.
Yes.
So it's just like poker where you're playing the other people, not playing the house, right? And when the market goes crazy, it's usually because of something that happened in the world, like a war or the feds are raising interest rates or whatever they're doing. Like it's something correlated to people freaking out.
Having an emotional response.
And having an emotional response. Yeah. And now you can grab things at a discount.
Yeah,
like
true.
Things that you've been researching for years and you're waiting for a certain price because you know it will happen. Exactly. And that's really smart value investing. That's what I used to do with stocks. And Warren Buffett and you know, Phil Town teach you a system for doing that. But it's not a gamble when you've systemized it and you back tested it. You know,
for years,
I back tested a lot of the system for the value investing stocks before ever putting a dollar into it. I tested the strategies of poker that I was learning on a simulation, on a sim. It's called a sim, but it's on a simulation on doing training drills, and it keeps track of how much money, theoretically paper money, basically, that you won or lost using your system. And I did it over a sample size of 150,000 hands to see if the system worked, you know, before ever putting a single penny into poker. And I just think that things like that, I wish were taught more. And if you're listening right now, hopefully, like, maybe you can go look more into that, implement things, form better habits, and teach your kids. I firmly believe, like, some of the people in the comments are like, kids are too young to learn any of this. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not too young. In fact,
you're too lazy to teach them.
Or you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, more of it. It's like people are too scared, so they don't want to teach what they don't know and all that. And they make excuses. But really, like, we're in an information era. Like, you can ask ChatGPT for money advice.
My
like,
brother has his 7-year-old kid programming stuff right now. So I don't think it's about how much parenting you're willing to do sometimes, and some people aren't. Some people want to hop on the devices. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's what, you know, and that's not like just one kid's doing that stuff. Like, they have 3 kids and they're teaching all of them that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but they use like these little kid friendly, like, programming kits that like teach them, and it's really cool.
I know. Like, looking back, I mean, the flashcard thing that I had in the 90s, like, I didn't realize how much of an advantage that gave me. I just thought it was a fun game.
Yep.
And I was a nerd, so I liked learning,
you
like,
still are.
About time and money, I guess.
So that's all the time we have for today. Check us out on patreon.com/sticky if you would like to check out all the various cool things, including getting this show a day early.
Yeah.
My crypto corner, as we talked about. Free roll poker tournament every month with cash prizes and a great Discord community.
That's right. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.